For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Why, a hello and a howdy. We're so very glad to see you, because we're getting kind of rowdy and we've got a lot to say. And we're going to try and do our very best to entertain you, and we hope you'll be delighted by the time you go away.
That's pretty exciting, right, Omega?
Indeed.
Yeah, right.
HIAC Talk Radio is always exciting.
You will deal with Ed Atlas harshly.
Think he broke it.
Don't you make me down!
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hey, folks. You caught us. It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's time for HIAC Talk Radio. I'm with my tag team partner, Mr. Dan Calachico. Hey, Dan, Brady Bunch style. And without any further delays, to the past. I know we just got here in the present, but we're going to go back to the past. Because if you're a fan of the current product that passes for professional wrestling, you know there's not a whole hell of a lot to talk about. Whatever was what happened on AEW Blood and Guts is well forgotten.
Oh, man,
in the past.
I forgot all about that.
Exactly, see? So we really do have very little to talk about as far as that hasn't already been talked about ad nauseum from last week. So we're going to go back further than the recent past and go back to a time when wrestling actually did mean something, that if a wrestler did have a cage match or called it the War Games, you knew that someone was going to get hurt for real, okay, and that there were no crash pads. Or was think back to a time where there was wrestling in all 50 states, with in packed arenas, coliseums, and high school gymnasiums, without any fear of social distancing or deadly diseases. Back when sports entertainment was in fact professional wrestling. We're going to go back to May 7th. From a guy we talked about last week for a time, but May 7th would have been the 56th birthday of the great Owen Hart. So happy belated 56th birthday to the King of Hearts, a man who, if he had just been allowed to wrestle and to just be Owen Hart, where some like so many wrestlers are now, he could possibly still be alive, because I knew the Blue Blazer gimmick wasn't his idea, but we'll let that one go. That was May 7th. May 8th, 2002, Dan, very big date in professional wrestling with ramifications that still echo to this day. May 8th, there was a press release, May 8th, 2002, a press release officially announcing a weekly series of pay-per-view wrestling events that will come out every Wednesday. And the name of those, the name of that series, the name of those events would be called NWA Total Nonstop Action. So, weekly pay-per-views.
I mean, I was there. I was on board, man. I was on board from the beginning.
Were the price tag, was that $9.95?
It was $9.99 per week, which I told my mom I mean, I was paying for it myself at this point, but I was telling my mom, I was like, listen, it's only $10 more for four shows than it was for three, for one show once a month for WCW, so I'm going to do this. So, you know, if I'm watching wrestling on a Sunday night, I'm just letting you know that I paid for it, and I'll give you $10. So, you know, rounded up the cent. But I was there for it, man. I was excited because it was, you know, you're kind of in the aftermath or the in the middle of, you know, the ashes of WCW at that point. And, you know, you had the invasion angle. That was a flop for the most part. So it was, I was looking forward to it. I was the supporter for Impact for a long time. I
was excited. Me back, and they have brought back the original NWA belt, which has always been, like I've said on this podcast many times, my favorite belt. And you know, they had Ricky Steamboat, they had Dory, they had Terry, they had a lot of the old NWA stars that I grew up watching on this. So yeah, I gave it a chance. I was looking forward to it.
Not the anniversary, but Ron Killings' heel run as champ was awesome. A lot of New York indie guys popping up there on and off. Yeah, it was cool. I was very happy at the time that Ron Killings got his run because I always liked Ron Killings. He was as athletic and as goddamn as good a wrestler as anybody else out there, you know, at the time. Why not? I remember the thing was, Ron Killings. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, well,
nothing wrong with him.
Yeah, not at all. And you know, I think I saw a BuzzFeed. I might have been a BuzzFeed. Our top 10 wrestlers you forgot were former NWA champions. And you know, they started off, well, you know the names Jack Briscoe and Harvey Race and Ric Flair, but did you know that these guys were also former NWA champions? And of course, Ron Killings was on there. Along with the Chris Candido, you know, Raven, Dan Severn, you know, guys that were Adam Pearce, who's the current head on the WWE, another former NWA heavyweight. May 9th, 2002 is when the official announcement that this outlaw, I hate to say that, but a new wrestling league starting called TNA. And 2021, like a cockroach, will not die. Still crawling along. Still, they got a TV deal. You can watch TNA wrestling if you so choose. So it's still here.
I do not.
Got more lives than 10, than 10 cats. But
telling you.
Yes, but it all started May 8th, 2002.
You removed two people. One, really. But if you remove a certain guy from that roster, I'll watch that show weekly. I'll say this, and this is, that women's division is fantastic, and I think you should go to women only. There, I just fixed TNA. Ironically. I mean, I just fixed Impact. There you go. Make it what WOW was. Jordynne Grace, I've been in the locker room with Jordynne Grace. Not like that, assholes. I hear you. I hear you, bullshit. I've watched Jordynne Grace and a lot of other of these ladies go through several of the indies. And we live in a world where Jordynne Grace is on TV. Whether you like her, you don't like the company or not, that's huge. She's very good. And Jazz was back for a while. That was so cool. Their women's division is stealing those shows. I don't give a good goddamn rat's ass about most of the male talent on that show. It just don't. It just happened to not to. Especially for the walking trash bag that is her turnaround. But if that's their legacy going into the next decade, do it. Do it. That's just me. While we're on the subject of companies dying, just a side note. This is just a quick side note. Let CZW die. Don't bring that back. Don't let somebody buy it, unless they buy it just to kill it so they can have the library. Let that one go. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the women in TNA. Tessa Blanchard was their champion, and Tessa Blanchard was one of the top 10 performers of any sex for a while in professional wrestling. So that was not just a credit to the women's division, but a credit to her as an athlete and as a performer.
It's interesting that Hulk Hogan's still allowed to be around because he's Hulk Hogan, but Tessa Blanchard essentially did the same kind of thing, a little more bullying, but was a bit racist. People were like, see you, Tessa. But Hulk Hogan's hosting WrestleMania alongside Titus. I just work here.
Yeah. I had a similar discussion with someone about Tim Tebow being back in the NFL.
Don't.
Another former quarterback, is it?
Okay, you know what? You started it. Okay, so here's the deal. I don't care either way about either of those guys as far as quarterbacks. Here's my problem. Mm-hmm. Not to make this about the thing people hate for some reason, which is kneeling at the football field, which is what a Green Beret, a veteran of the armed services, told him to do in the first place. Not getting into that. What I don't understand is, I know the answer. Well, I mean, I know the answer. You know, forget it. I know the answer is because of, yeah, I know what the answer is. Never mind. I had a conversation with my aunt, who I no longer talk to. I had two conversations within a day of each other. One of those was, she made this big, huge deal about how Tim Tebow was ridiculed and mocked and shut down for his kneeling on the field for praying, but not Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. And I asked her to find me an article indicating this. One, any website. I'll take it from Newsmax, Fox News, CNN, MSN, whatever you got, send it to me. I can't find those articles. Because it fucking didn't, was not real. Because nobody cared.
Yeah.
It's all about what message you stand for or not. They both should be quarterbacks. They're both bad. They both should be backups. Bad. Air quotes. You get my point. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it, you fucking children. Jesus Christ. Let a man throw a ball.
Damn it.
Anyway. Continue.
Anyway. Back to wrestling.
But, and another thing. I'm kidding.
And I have one more thing. It was a political commentary side that we have every week here on HIC Talk Radio.
We're not going to get political, but
if one of us brings it up, we have no choice. May 9th. Excuse me. May 9th, 1989, Dan, during a taping of NWA Saturday Night, in the midst of his feud with Ric Flair, Terry Funk, while Ric Flair, he had sidelined Ric Flair with the pile driver, you know, and Flair had a broken neck, so Terry Funk was running roughshod on TV, running through everyone. You know, and talking about that egg-sucking dog, Ric Flair, that banana-nose, horse-teeth, jackass.
Banana-nose.
Well, one of the guys, banana-nose, horse-tooth, jackass. One of the guys that Terry Funk ran roughshod through was actually having his first match in WCW at the time. And because Terry was a good friend of his father's and his brother's.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And always like to help out the young talent. He gave this young man who weighed in a strapping 189 pounds and put up a good fight. But in his tryout, Terry Funk defeated the man on my shirt, Eddie Guerrero, in his first ever WCW match, May 9th, 1989. And there was talk about, you know, wanting to bring Eddie in as some enhancement talent. Terry didn't think he was ready,
Terry
probably wasn't. Terry, well, that after his tryout match that took place May 9th, 1989, Eddie went back to Texas for a little more seasoning, and of course from there he went to the AAA in Mexico, and he'd already wrestled in Japan as the Black Tiger, got a lot of experience there, the high-flying lucha style that he's been come to known as, translated very well in Japan, but came back to the States, wrestled in AAA, met up with Art Barr, formed the most over tag team in North America for a two-year period, Los Gringos Locos, from there ECW, back triumphantly to WCW and the WWE, and then on my shirt. The rest is history, but it started his first match ever in WCW on a taping of the NWA Saturday night, May 9th, 1989, Terry Funk versus a very young Eddie Guerrero. May 10th, 1985, was the taping in Uniondale, New York, or Uniondale, Long Island, at the Nassau Coliseum. So many great WWF things happen in Nassau Coliseum in Uniondale for some reason.
Nothing else much happens there other than the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. But this very, this day, May 10, 1985, was the taping of first Saturday night's main event. Featured a six-man tag team match between the Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkoff, and George the Animal Steel. Versus the team of the Ultra Babyface team of Barry Windham, Mike Rotundo, and Ricky Steamboat. It also featured Hulk Hogan versus Bob Orton. And this is the first time we've seen these people since WrestleMania 2 years earlier. And so they were getting the coveted Saturday Night Live time slot. So this came on Saturday night at 11:30. It's first time wrestling had been on network TV in 33 years, folks. So this was a big deal. The main event was Hulk Hogan versus Bob Orton, and we saw interference by Roddy Piper, and that was also the Piper's Pit, where Paul Orndorff turned face for the first time. And they talked about the WrestleMania botch where Orton came off the ropes and hit Orndorff by mistake and causing him to be pinned by Hulk Hogan. And of course we know the aftermath of WrestleMania 1, Orton and Piper left Orndorff laying in the ring, and this was their first Piper's Pit with all three of them in the ring at the same time, and Orndorff attacked Piper, and of course he was saved by Bob Orton with the cast, and Piper and Orton were putting the boots to Orndorff, but who will come to save him, Dan? Mr. T, of course.
I thought it was rhetorical. I'm sorry.
Totally. But that would turn Paul damn this delay. That would turn Orndorff babyface full time at the time. But that was the show of Saturday Night's Main Event. And that particular Saturday Night's Main Event, Dan, the first one, the maiden voyage, the return of wrestling to network TV for the first time in 33 years, that first Saturday Night's Main Event did a rating of 8.8.
Yes, we want to apologize to listeners and viewers who are watching. Huge technical difficulties in the city of Philadelphia tonight. That's all I got to say. So, it's Amber's fault.
It is. It is. The minute she sat down, that's when everything went
to fluid. Never mind. Got it.
But that took place. They taped it May 10th. It aired May 11th, Saturday night, and it did an 8.8 rating. And also, what happened on this? Yeah, 8.8. And that was low compared to the subsequent Saturday Night's Main Event tapings and airings on Saturday night. 8.8 was pretty much the lowest mark they hit. After that, they went up in the double digits, folks, in ratings. Ratings were a big deal. Also, on this date, May 11th, 1953, Dan, we're going to go back to May 11th, 1953, and we're going to stay in the state of New York because this landmark decision that took place May 11th, 1953 would impact the sport of professional wrestling forever, particularly in the state of New York, because on May 11th, 1953, the New York State Athletic Commission lifted the ban. I didn't even know there was one, but apparently there was. But May 11th, 1953, the New York State Athletic Commission lifted the ban on tag team wrestling.
What a weird thing to ban. That's almost like, never mind. I was going to say Whitman in extreme wrestling, but okay.
Well, as weird as that was, Dan, check out but how late New York is on a couple of things. 1953, they lifted the ban on tag team wrestling. It wasn't until 18 years later did they lift the ban on masked wrestlers. You couldn't wear a mask in the state of New York to wrestle.
Sure.
So it was 18 years it took for them to lift the ban on masked wrestlers. But 19 years after making it legal to have tag team wrestling in New York, state of New York, that was in 1953. It wasn't until 1972 that women were allowed to wrestle in the state of New York.
Yes. I used to see the city was forward thinking, but we were a little backwards on that one. Did you know wrestlers could get divorced in New York this year?
No.
Yeah, just this year.
2021. Jeez.
That's not true. That you know of.
That's not true. But we know. But the point is that New York State is behind on a lot of things wrestling related that they didn't have. They only had tag team wrestling in New York since 1953. Masked wrestlers could only wrestle there since 1971. And there have only been women wrestling in New York since 1972.
So this mecca of wrestling in New York was very bland until about 1950-70-something. All right. Cool.
And Dan, those are just the bands I know about. I don't even want to know when the first black wrestler was allowed to wrestle in New York. I think it was probably 1970.
What's the bet? Who broke the barrier first? Who broke the barrier last? The Washington football team with segregation, or New York laying black wrestlers? What do you think did it first? We should look that up on our spare time.
Yeah, on our spare time. But because in the meantime, as you can tell by Amber's comments, that, gentlemen and ladies, was a delayed technical difficulties fraught edition of The Wrestling Historian. And you can follow me, if you so choose, without delay, on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter, at Craig Ligons, CraigLigons.
Yes, yes, you can follow me on Twitter and all social media platforms at Danlo93. If Javi gives us a little bit of love, Javi was trying to get me to play Fortnite, and I apologize. Man's got to work. Man's got to work and sell his body for some money. Go ahead.
Ooh. Oh, and I wanted to dedicate this edition of Wrestling Historian to Tad Lyon. I got a Twitter message from Tad, 67-year-old from Phoenix, Arizona, via Chicago. I just wanted to share how much I enjoy your Wrestling Historian segment. So,
well,
to Tad Lyon.
Tad.
Thank you. Check out the big brain on Tad. But he sent me this message completely out of the blue from Phoenix via Chicago. Thank you for the rest of it. Tad, this last Wrestling Historian was dedicated to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I just want to know, we powered through it just to get it out. We've been live, just a little peek on the outside. We've been live for an hour and 20 minutes. I think we got about a 22-minute podcast. And it's all wrestling history. Maybe 30. I don't know what the time is before we stop, but, yeah, it was a quickie. And you can thank – I mean, see, the reason why we do – so I try not to do what other podcasts do because, you know, it's like the ECW thing. I can't beat them at their game, so I'll do something different. So I try not to be like the 85th podcast where a white guy tells you how he feels about Chris Jericho landing on cardboard. So I skipped it this week. And, of course, the week where I'm like, Craig, it's all you and Historian tonight, the internet went, nah. So with that being said, listen to all of our podcasts on VOC Nation Radio Network. There might be a relaunch coming soon of something old, near, and dear to us. I actually have to tell you that. But VOCNation.com, if you go to your smartphone on your iTunes or Google Podcasts or Spotify app, type in VOC Nation Radio Network. For Craig Ligons and the Rev Average comedian Dan Colachico, we will see you next week, hopefully with an internet connection. Goodbye.
Son of a bitch! God likes me!
It's the end of the show, mother
This is a Swister, the Doctor of Style, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Check out In the Room.
Every Tuesday night at 9, listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have
cried? Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Vitez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
On Wrestling with Problems, we deal with two things, wrestling and problems. On the wrestling side, we cover the major feds as well as the indies. As far as problems go, we cover our problems, American problems, and world problems. Sometimes the problems are even related to wrestling. Every week, comedian King David Lane and wrestler, promoter Chris Best discuss the best and especially the worst in the world of wrestling with a heaping dose of comedy. Check us out live on VOCNation.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stiles of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mama. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.